At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
CODA salutes those who've served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.
This season of Desert Island Dishes is sponsored by Maldon Salt, the finest natural sea salt flakes handcrafted from the British coastline. They are, quite frankly, the masters of salt, putting craft, care, and passion into everything they do. You only have to read one of my recipes to know that I use Maldon Salt every single day for all of my cooking. To say I am a fan is an understatement, so to be working with them this season is a dream come true. I'm often asked about the secret to getting better at cooking, and my answer is honestly always the same. It comes down to seasoning, and not just as an afterthought. You have to season at every stage, and that's why I love Maldon Salt. It's light and delicate due to the soft and crunchy pyramid-shaped flakes, and it's just the easiest way to take simple dishes to the next level. Trust me, your cooking life will not be the same. Thank you very much to Maldon Salt. Hi, I'm Margie Namora, and welcome to our side dish, the Dream Dinner Party. This is the mini episode where we invite a guest to tell us all about their dream dinner party. They're allowed to invite four guests, and they can be dead or alive, because I think really five people is the optimum number for a really great dinner party, and they're going to be talking us through their dream menu. We have a returning guest for you this week in the form of the brilliant Sunday Times bestselling author, Dawn O'Porter. I was lucky enough to catch Dawn in the lead up to her brand new book being published. Honeybee has been described as funny, relatable, and incredibly entertaining, much like Dawn herself. It's a gorgeous celebration of female friendship, so it's a brilliant novel from Dawn. She is a woman of many talents and just so much fun to talk to. I really hope you enjoy, and if you do, then it is worth going back and listening to Dawn's main episode of Desert Island Dishes, as it really is a goodie. It was a few years ago now, but I think that's the nice thing about these interviews is that they really are evergreen. So thank you so much for listening to the Dream Dinner Party. These really are fun to do, so I hope they're fun to listen to. And without further ado, here is Dawn's Dream Dinner Party.
I love dinner parties more than anything in the entire world. I love the term dinner party because it just makes me feel so like fabulously old school and 70s. I love everything from like planning what the menu is to shopping for the ingredients to cooking it all. I will become obsessed with that dinner party for the days leading up to it, and I will put my absolute heart and soul into it, and I love it. And also, like, nothing better than someone saying they've got a dietary requirement.
Oh, really?
So I take on that challenge and absolutely. Right. No, and I'll say, I had for a few years ago, I was doing a Thanksgiving in LA, and so one of my guests said, I'm gluten-free vegan that doesn't eat mushrooms.
Oh my goodness.
And so I'm going to bring my own food. And I was like, you're not bringing your own food, because we're not students. You're not bringing your own food. This is like the ultimate challenge. And I managed to do this epic meal where, I mean, he just had such a good feed. So it's like, I love the challenge of it. I'm very passionate about dinner parties.
I love that. I don't think I've ever heard someone say that as a reaction to the dietary requirements.
No, I know. It's unusual, but I just quite enjoy the challenge.
Yeah. And how do you approach that, by giving everyone the same as what that person's having? Or are they having something separate?
No. Okay. No. So I just make sure that I'm gluten-free. We're a low dairy house as it is. And I love vegan food. Mm. So it's very little that you could bring or say that would make make that like so anything difficult for me, because it's all kind of within my preference wheelhouse anyway.
That makes sense.
So, but then I also love cooking all the other stuff. I cook a lot of stuff that I can't eat because it's got gluten in it, but I love to cook it for other people.
And you are, I was thinking, one of the people that I've spoken to who probably has been to and thrown the kind of dinner party that we discuss on the Dream Dinner Party. Like, make us all jealous. What's the best dinner party you've ever thrown or been to?
Oh, God. Don't. I've now gone blank and can't remember a single dinner party of my whole life. I mean, that Thanksgiving was pretty... I can't expose everyone. Oh. Sorry. So what happens at the dinner party stays at the dinner party.
So Dawn O'Porter, welcome to your dream dinner party. We're going to start by talking about the guest list. So you are allowed to invite 4 people, and I'd love to know who you've chosen to invite.
Oh, I mean, is my husband one of them?
He can be.
Well, I think he has to be. Okay, so I've got another 3. I'm sure so many people say this, but I would just love to have the Obamas over for dinner. A friend of mine went for dinner and Michelle Obama was at the dinner party and apparently she was wearing leather hot pants.
Was she really?
Apparently, I wasn't there. I want Michelle Obama to come to my house in leather hot pants and sit and enjoy my food. That would be pretty amazing. Also, they're the kind of people I don't just want to meet. I want to sit with for hours and just talk to. I really want to. And I think they'd be really fun as well. And that's the kind of those fascinating people that would just also be really, really, really fun.
But also, I like that you've gone in strong and we've basically got an epic couples double date.
Yeah. And I think they tick my box of like famous people and that. And then I would want my best friend Louise to be there because I think she'd love to meet them as well. And she's so fun. And she'd be great. If I got one more person. No, that's
no,
it.
That's so it.
No, so it would be the Obamas, me and Chris and my best friend Louise. I mean, that would be my dream night.
I feel like you can make that happen, Dawn. Come on, that could be a reality.
I do feel like if I really, really, really like cosmic ordered that, it could happen. Yeah. I don't know the Obamas. I have no route to the Obamas, but I feel like if I really tried, yeah. I could probably get close.
I mean, what's that the old saying of 6 degrees of separation? Like, you must be closer than 6 degrees.
Well, I know someone that knows that she wore leather hot pants to a dinner party, so I'm basically besties with her.
Is that going to be part of the invite? Like, I really want you to come, but if you come wearing something other than leather hot pants, I will be disappointed.
Maybe it needs to be the dress code for all of us.
Yes. Yes. Everyone, men included.
Because we all want to see him in them as well, don't we? And Chris loves them and wears them all the time. So I think this is coming together really nicely.
Okay, so what time are you going to invite everyone to come?
I think it's got to be 7 o'clock so that they can meet the kids before they go to bed.
Oh, that's nice.
And so the kids would like to see Auntie Louise and meet the Obamas, I think. And so they can come down and, you know, be funny and cute. We can ask them about school and we can kind of shoo the kids away, go to bed, go to bed, go to bed. While we're all drinking some delicious cocktails, probably margaritas. Or some Prosecco. I love Prosecco. I've got really into Prosecco lately. Or maybe I have to have champagne if it's the Obamas, don't I? Anyway, I'll let them choose.
Okay.
And so 7 o'clock.
Dawn, do you mean 7 o'clock?
Yes.
Okay, so 7 for 7.
Yes. Lateness really, really, I find very upsetting. But I feel like their driver would get them there on time. And Louise would probably be staying, so that would be all good. So okay. 7 o'clock, and then I love a charcuterie board, but I have got a bit of charcuterie board fatigue. So I would lay out an interesting version of that, which might be, I'm really liking, instead of just lots of cheeses, I quite like a really, really, really soft burrata.
Ooh.
With then sprinkled on top some everything seasoning. And then just a really nice selection of gluten-free and non-gluten-free things to dip in that. And like crudités and stuff, because I'm going to do a feast, so I don't ever want everyone to fill up. But I think burrata is always really lovely because it's so sloppy and gorgeous.
Oh, I love the idea of it with the everything bagel
yeah,
seasoning.
It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And are you living in the UK now?
Yeah, I'm living in the UK. So this would be a wintertime, cozy London dinner party.
At home.
Yeah.
So everyone's arrived. They've had their, is it a margarita or a spicy
margaritas?
Margarita?
Oh, I'd offer them everything. You know, I think that's the thing. When you're having people over, you need to offer different drinks. If you plan too much in terms of cocktails, and then it's always a bit disheartening when somebody doesn't want it.
Yes.
So just make sure that you've got a cocktail on offer, but then you can also whip up anything else. Like, some people just want to turn up and have a lovely glass of red wine, don't they?
That's true.
Can I just add something to that burrata? Sorry.
Yes.
It's like very specifically a truffle honey. So a little, a pot of truffle honey dribbled over, that's optional. So they can kind of use that and do that themselves. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself.
No, optional, but highly recommended. I mean, yeah. There's nothing truffle honey wouldn't make better.
It's so delicious.
Yeah, so good. What kind of host are you? Are you quite, because you do entertain so often, are you quite relaxed about it? Or have you got everything done before people arrive? How do you approach that side of things?
I mean, I'm pretty, it's, you know, it's an immersive experience, I'd say. So I've got a lot done. All the prep would be done, but I'd be cooking while they're there as well a bit.
Okay. You don't find that stressful?
No, as long as I've been organized until that point.
Yeah.
So everything's prepared, but it's busy.
Yeah.
But no, I love that. Chris got me, because we in LA, they're still in storage somewhere, but I'm desperate to get them out. So somewhere, I used to get driven mad by when people would come over and I was cooking in the kitchen. I'm chatting to them, but they're like stand and lean against the oven or come into the kitchen to talk. I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you leaning against the sink? I've got oven gloves on. Like, Chris got me some red ropes, like bouncy ropes. So I put them, when people come over, I put them kind of around the kitchen so no one can get into my space. And then I chat away and like throw out dishes and do all this stuff. And it's great. I just don't understand what people are thinking when they come over and stand in the kitchen when you're still cooking. I find it so weird. You know, you can offer to help and I'll always say no. There's nothing for anyone that I ever want any help with. And once I said that, like, go over there where all the drinks and the nibbles are. Why are you leaning against the oven with all the food in it? I just don't understand.
No, I don't understand. But people do that a lot.
It's generally like...
It's men.
People who don't... It's men, but it's also just people who don't host. So they're being lovely and they're being... Everything they should be coming over and being chatty. It's not time. You can see that this is happening. Go over there, have the drink, have the nibbles, chat to Chris, blah, 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 blah. Let me just get this food out. Don't like block the oven.
No, I know. I used to get that all the time when I was working as a private chef, and loads of the jobs that I do was in people's houses. And there would always be one guest who I didn't know, like I was being paid to be there, and they'd come and do exactly that in the kitchen, which is very odd.
And just chat to you, be asking, so what's going on? What are you up to? I'm like, right now, I'm holding a boiling hot baking tray, like, and my face is sweating, and nothing is stressful until someone does that. Nothing is stressful until someone does that. And then I'm just like, well, now I have to be rude. And that's really annoying. Just like, can you just leave me for 5 minutes? And then like, oh God, she's stressed in the kitchen. I'm like,
no,
it's not that I'm stressed in the kitchen. You're just literally like asking me the minute details of the last year of my life while I'm just trying to get up. You just let's sit down and have a talk later. Anyway, some people just don't get it. So I always say it on things because hopefully all my friends will listen to that. And this is my very passive aggressive way of getting the message out of me. Just leave me alone when I'm cooking.
I am obsessed with the idea of you having the bouncer cordons.
And you want to see if someone tries to step over one. Wow.
Would you mind if Obama turned out to be the kind of person that did that?
He can do whatever he wants.
Okay, yeah, I thought so.
And if the food gets ruined, we'll just order in and Obama can do whatever he wants. And so can Michelle.
Yeah.
They can do whatever they want. Louise knows better, and so does Chris.
they wouldn't dare. Okay, well, so I think it's time to sit down. You said you've prepared a feast, so talk us through it. What are you going to serve?
One of my favourite starters to do, because it's so easy and always just so delicious, is in a big kind of earthenware baking pot, I would do cherry tomatoes with olive oil, a splash of balsamic, lots of garlic, some chili flakes, fresh basil, and some chopped up chorizo. Oh. And rub all of that together with salt and pepper and just stick it in the oven until you need it. It's really hard to get it wrong. If it starts to get a bit dry, just a little bit of vegetable stock in there maybe. And it's just this kind of beautiful centerpiece that is kind of red and sticky and bubbly. And just serve that with gorgeous sliced up baguette, lovely bread. For me, I'll get some gluten-free bread. And I find that is just such a lovely starter because it's everyone digging in. It gets conversation going. It's really unprecious. And there's no plating up to do, which is really, really nice. And it means that everyone can kind of carry on that kind of 10 minutes before everyone's finished it. I'll jump up and kind of do the last bits in the kitchen for a main course. I love making that. It's one of my favorite things to make for lots of people.
Have you ever done a dinner party where you do like individual plates of food, or is it very much family style kind of digging in?
Well, lots and lots and lots of family style. But for a group this size, well, I'll talk through my main course in a minute, but happy to do a more of a kind of plated up thing, but the one that's really easy to prepare. And, but yeah, no, I love all, you know, digging into big kind of pots of slow cooked stuff. That's one of my favorites, but that I cook for lots of people at once. And that makes that very easy. But for smaller people with dinner style, I think I would do a big shared starter and then more of a plated up main.
What's the biggest number of people that you've hosted for a dinner party?
Well, it'd be more of a Sunday daytime lunch thing. Well, that Thanksgiving I did, I think, was 16 people. And there was about 10 different dishes on the table.
Whoa.
All intolerances covered. I did a beef Wellington, this incredible, well, turkey Wellington, because it was Thanksgiving. And then next to it, I did a gluten-free version of that.
Oh my God.
And then so I had two Wellingtons and they were both stunning.
Dawn, how do you do a turkey Wellington?
Oh, whose recipe was it? I think it was Jamie Oliver's recipe. And it's so much easier than a beef recipe because there's no worry about the rareness and all of that stuff. And you cook the turkey breast first. So you roast the breast first and then you wrap it. And then all you have to do is cook it until the pastry is done.
That's a great
idea.
It's actually
really easy and one of the most delicious things I've ever made.
Really?
I can't find a good gluten-free pastry in the UK. I'm going to have to learn to make it. But in LA, I could get gluten-free pastry. So that was easy. But that was my biggest like sit-down dinner party type thing that I've done. But on Sundays, we would just have loads of people over. So that would be like big kind of massive tubs of pulled pork and big briskets and, you know, that and huge mac and cheeses and that just really good party food. But for this smaller one, so can I move on to
Yes, people? Yes, please tell us.
So that's the kind of lovely, very, very low effort, but very delicious for everybody. Also works amazingly without chorizo. So if you've got vegetarians, just don't bother with chorizo. It's just, you just don't need it really. And then my main course for this crowd will be, and something that is a lot easier than it sounds, is chicken parm. So when you do chicken parm for a group, so about six of them will fit really nicely onto an oven tray. So it's just one, you know, it's one tray in the oven on one grill. And you can bread it all. So, you know, the kind of egg, flour, breadcrumb well in advance. So you can do that a couple of hours before everyone gets there and then cover them and put them in a fridge. So I've got the lovely chicken fillets. And then if you've got a vegetarian, this is a really, really good one, or a vegan. It's incredible, just done with tofu. So you can get just a really good, you know, slice of tofu and just treat it the same way that you do the chicken. It's so easy. I like to, with tofu, just sprinkle a little bit of garlic powder and salt onto the tofu itself, or you flavor the flour when you dip it. But make sure you do that one first so you're not dipping it in the chicken bit. So say I'm eating tofu that night, or no, I'm having gluten-free that night, because I would make sure that I've got one little bowl of gluten-free breadcrumbs for mine. It just means that you've got, it sounds really complicated what I'm saying, but it's really not. You can do vegetarian really easily and gluten-free really easily. And you can also use a plant milk, so you don't have to use dairy if someone's got an issue with that. And it's just one of those dishes that you can really, really adjust. You just lay out the bowls of what you're dipping it in, and then you do each one. Just got to remember which one's which. So then you have like the six breaded pieces on a plate in the fridge until you're ready to cook it. And then when I get up from the table, when everyone's still digging into the chorizo, I will go and put them all onto the dish and put them in the oven. And they all take the same amount of time to cook. They're basically cooked when they're crispy. I don't fry them. I bake them in the oven, which is great.
And it works just as well.
It works just as well. And if you can be bothered, you turn them, because it's always better to be actually, if you've got them on a grill thing that's got a gap underneath, I don't know what I'm trying to call it, you know, you slide it into the oven and it's a metal grill, but there's a gap underneath.
Yeah.
Because there's a tray underneath it and there's just like it catches the bit. So it just means that air circulates much better.
Yeah.
And so they should go really crispy. And then when you get them out, you're literally just plonking on a piece of cheese, or you can vegan cheese if you need to, or whatever it is, and then pouring over a delicious marinara sauce that you've made earlier, and then whacking them back onto the grill for a few minutes. And then probably the sides would be like buttery peas are so great for dinner parties, because everyone loves them and they're so easy. Like, but lots of rock salt, indulgently buttery peas, always have those, and then put in the oven a tray of broccoli, and the second it comes out, sprinkle Parmesan on it, a squeeze of lemon and pepper, and it's just the most perfect broccoli ever. And in terms of potatoes, because the chicken is crispy, I'd probably do mashed potato. Like a really lovely buttery mashed potato.
You can't go wrong.
Can't go wrong. So that was done this afternoon. So that's all lovely and no effort. The broccoli takes minutes and the peas are easy. And then I always do a crunchy salad with a very kind of garlicky balsamic dressing. And then you just pull those chickens out of the oven and they just plate them up immediately. But the preparation is actually very easy and can all be done in advance.
Yeah, the preparation is easy. And you're, as you say, like the key is just getting something made ahead of time so that you can actually enjoy the evening.
Exactly.
You don't want to be feeling like you're your friend's personal chef and you don't really get to chat to anyone. You need to be able to enjoy the evening. I mean, you've got the Obamas there. You've got things to talk about.
I think they'd love that. I think they'd love that. Everybody always loves chicken parm. It's kind of really satisfying, but kind of decadent as well. Mm. You know, if you really go to town on that marinara as well, make sure that it's just really lovely and garlicky and basil-y, and it's just so delicious.
So
good. Oozy mozzarella on top, just gorgeous. Yeah, I want it now. It's my favorite.
And what are you drinking at this point? I feel like you are the kind of person that would plan very well what to have with what.
Well, again, flexible on what the drinks are. I've had to stop drinking wine. So I just, it was starting to get me the kind of drunk that I don't really want to be, like quite floppy drunk.
Okay.
also just horrible, horrible sleep and the worst hangovers that went on for days. And this just started in the last like 2 years. So I actually haven't drunk wine for about 8 months and it's been a revelation. I drink everything else.
That's interesting. I wonder what it is. The sugar.
I think it must be. I thought I was going to have to give up drinking, and I was really sad about that because I actually got a really good relationship with alcohol and I love alcohol, but I just couldn't cope with the way that I was feeling. And then a couple of women who are over 40 said to me, it's wine. We've like lose the enzyme that enables us to digest it when we turn 40, and loads of women are. And then I said to loads of my friends, I think I'm going to have to give up wine. They were like, Dawn, I haven't drunk wine in 5 years. I'm like, where? Why did no one tell me? Why did I have to come to this horrible conclusion? So now I largely drink a lot of Prosecco, which I've got really into and really like, or I just continue to drink tequila cocktails with food. But obviously I'll make sure that because the Obama's there, there's lots of delicious red wine and some nice white wine. But I'm thinking dinner party, I think like lots of delicious wine. So again, like I've got a full bar in my house. You can have whatever you want.
your house sounds amazing, Dawn.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then afterwards, let's have some gin and tonics and everyone just kick back and relax and play chess.
Are you going to serve a pudding?
So this is one area that I fail because I don't eat sweet things. I couldn't give it a toss about sugar. Okay. I don't care about desserts. And that's a lot to do with because I don't like what sugar does to me. And also because I just don't crave it. But there is a pudding that I make. So I usually, it's the only thing I will allow people to bring. It's the only thing. If someone says, can I bring anything? If I'm cooking for lots of people, I'll bring something sweet for the end because I don't even want to have to think about it because everyone else loves it. I'm not interested and I'll focus on everything else. But for a dinner party, I have to do it. So my favorite dessert that I make that my kids love, Chris loves, everybody loves is a chocolate avocado mousse. So because I'm a very indulgent person, but I'm also, I am very, very into health. Like I really eat clean food. So anything that I cook at home is made in the healthiest way possible. So if I'm going to make a chocolate mousse, it's going to be full of avocados and not butter. And that's how I roll. And this, it's kind of my version of it is a kind of hybrid. The absolutely started off with Jamie Oliver's chocolate avocado mousse, which is the most stunning recipe and perfect. But mine kind of evolved with a bit more coconut cream and I, you know, some other bits that I kind of threw in there. And but it's decadent and delicious. And he does it with melted bars of dark chocolate. And sometimes I do it with some milk chocolate in there as well, because it just makes it, it's a bit more kid friendly, but it's lovely and it sets beautifully. And I serve that with kind of berries and some clotted cream or some ice cream or something like that. And it's just one of those lovely desserts that is so delicious. And everyone is just so happy when they find out it's not butter and cream and all the awful things. And then you can add those things on the side if you want them.
It's so true when you're eating something delicious and you're like, how did you make this? And the answer is buttercream and sugar. You're like, oh.
It's also really nice. I toast hazelnuts and crumble them on top and you can glam it up a bit or you can just do a blob of it for a Sunday lunch with your family. Mm. And it's just, so that's my go-to dessert. And I think the Obamas would love it.
Also, Dawn, does that mean that you are no longer the crisp fanatic that you once were?
Oh, no, I'm always going to be a fanatic. Okay. I love crisps, but crisps aren't necessarily unhealthy.
No, they're not unhealthy. I was just checking.
I love going to the healthy shop and buying all those amazing crisps, like the really lovely avocado oil. Yes, the lentil crisps, avocado oil, kettle chips, and all those kind of things. I still do eat like other things, but that will be what my cupboard's full of. And I eat loads of crisps and I love them, but I'm a real label reader. I need to know sustainable sources and not full of awful things for me. You know, my kids are getting to that age when they're kind of going out to things and they'll buy themselves a Mars bar at a party because I've given them some, and I'm like, that horrifies me so much. So when they're at home, everything's really healthy.
Yeah.
So my cooking is very from scratch and very healthy, which means that there's avocado in the chocolate mousse.
Do you think that's been influenced by your time in America, or do you think you would have come to that place regardless of where you were in the world?
Oh, I think I would have come to that place regardless. So I was brought up by my auntie and uncle in Guernsey, and she was like a real from scratch cook, local ingredients, and really loved all that. It's changed a bit now. You know, they're older and they shop mostly at Marks and Spencer's. But back in the day, everything was local and, you know, made fresh. And I love that style of cooking. And I love supporting the small businesses as well. There's a lovely organic shop around the corner where I still go to the supermarket. Of course I do. But I love to go there and, you know, fill up the brown paper bags instead of buying loads of plastic. And I read all the labels. I don't trust anything. I read all the labels and try to just eat as little processed stuff as possible. I'm kind of obsessive about it. But I think I always wasn't because of my gluten thing, because it makes me so ill. And that really came to a head a few years ago where I was like, I have to cut it out completely. That made me kind of obsessively get into the habit of reading labels and ingredients, which I think we should all get better at doing.
So you mentioned after dinner, you might be having some gin and tonics and playing chess. Is that normally what you might do after a dinner party?
Not yet, but this is the fantasy bit. This is the bit where I'm like, that's who I want to become now. Okay. That's my post 45 dinner party where we retire to another room.
With a cigar.
I think the trick is because I got into the habit of always putting out a huge charcuterie board when everyone got there. And that ruins cheese later if you do that. So I think that's why the kind of burrata thing and a couple of little nibbles and like blanched almonds and things like that are really nice when everyone arrives. But save that like smelly cheese and all that delicious stuff for about an hour after pudding. And if everyone's still there and you're kind of going into another room and you can bring out the cheese board, then it will get eaten. That's if you so bring true. It out straight away at the table, no one touches it. And that's a shame. If you can leave it a while, it's always best later. Because the thing about when you've eaten a huge meal and you think, oh, I'm stuffed, I'll never eat again. An hour later, it's quite amazing how you suddenly want to start picking. And that's also the best time to bring out a bowl of crisps.
That's so true. It's like at Christmas, that's a typical time that you just feel like you'll never eat again. And then an hour later, you're ready for round two.
It's so true. And also, I think that kind of saltiness, and also because you're drinking as well. When you're gluten-free, like obviously the crackers, I've got some really lovely brands that I have, but there's something really lovely when you bring the cheese out later in a big bowl of crisps, just putting the cheese on the crisps. It's like we're all friends now. There's no facade. I'm going back to my student days and I'm dipping crisps in literally everything in the fridge.
I imagine your dinner parties kind of go on till the early hours, but is that a correct assumption? Like, are you a real night owl?
Well, I mean, I do like, especially when it's at home, it's nice to stay up late. I mean, I do love to be in bed by midnight, I'm not going to lie. This is really emotive because I haven't had a good dinner party in a really long time because we moved back last year and we were in rentals that weren't dinner party friendly. And we're just getting our house together now to the point where we're thinking, should we have a fun dinner party? And it's been so long and I'm really, really now itching to do it and do that exact menu
and reach out to the Obamas. You never know.
I'm gonna tweet him. I'll tweet him and just see if he picks it up. I'll just say Friday 8 o'clock. If you see this, great. If you don't, it's fine.
Oh my god, Dawn, please, please, please tweet him. And when you do, send me a screenshot because that will just make my day. Dawn, that was your dream dinner party. Thank you so much.
It's a pretty good one.
It was a really good one, and one that I think is going to happen in real life.
So there we have it. Dawn's dream dinner party is over. The food has been eaten. The guests have gone home. I do hope you enjoyed today's episode, and make sure you're subscribed to catch all future episodes of The Dream Dinner Party and, of course, Desert Island Dishes. Thank you so much for listening. Bye.
Stability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
CODA salutes those who served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.